Guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen many of you already. You were there yesterday, and many of you expressed the wish to be here today, which is why we invited you, and of course, we try to give satisfaction. The future CEO of Siemens AG, Mr. Joe Kaeser, is here today. You know him as the CFO of Siemens, and today he is speaking in that function to present the third quarter's figures. His future function is new, and we are here for both reasons. You have received all materials. They were given to you this morning, and we also released them on the internet. This conference will also be broadcast on the internet and translated into English. We'll start with some words of Mr. Kaeser, and then we will proceed with Q&A.
Thank you very much for these warm words of introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Siemens. You have heard, seen, and above all, written extraordinarily and extensively about Siemens of late, and we've provided you with a wealth of material. There is talk and writing of chaos and collapse, misfortune and mishaps of the human and the inhumane and much more. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is not what Siemens is about and not what it stands for. Above all, it is not what it should epitomize. And that is why I look forward to taking your questions today directly, today, and to reopening the clear and direct dialogue with you. And as you've heard, I'm not at my destination yet. It is rather the start of a new beginning, of a new responsibility, not a new beginning, but a continuation of the development of the company, which is on a good road. Before we do that, I would like to look back onto the third quarter with you, onto the figures, which, to my mind, were robust and solid, although they were characterized by one-off effects at certain junctures. I'll focus on them, as you've already heard the reporting, which is more precise. My dear colleagues in the press and financial departments put this quite succinctly. New orders in the third quarter of 2013 were up over the comparable third quarter figures of the previous year by more than 20%. More than 20% to 21.1 billion euros, although this was achieved through major train contracts that are still ongoing. This is a tremendous performance. They have a limited margin quality. This ensures employment stability and utilization of capacity in this very volatile economic environment, and this helps us to secure jobs in this difficult economic environment in Europe. At 19.2 billion, revenue fell as expected, about 1%. We weren't surprised by that. Due to the flagging incoming orders in the past year, we anticipated that, and this is the figure that we measure against. That is the income from continuing operations, which was 1 billion euros and 1% under the previous year. It is a satisfactory result, but it could be better if we once again succeed in limiting the ongoing series of project charges. For 2013, for the whole of the fiscal year, we confirm the forecast published in the beginning of May on the basis of the first half of the fiscal year. We assume that incoming orders will be above the expectations we had back then, and that the income from continuing operations after taxes will see positive influences due to the special earnings from the sale of the NSN network stake. The risks that remain, as reported, are the uncertainties associated with the offshore grid integration projects in the North Sea. As announced, the company programs forecast for a sector margin of at least 12%. As we've announced and reported from an operative point of view, is no longer attainable. However, we continue to work resolutely and rigorously on implementing the measures identified in the Siemens 2014 program. Whether the new target will then be 10% instead of 12% or another figure, ladies and gentlemen, is not important alone. That is not solely important. What is important is really central are two things. First, that we reduce or close the profitability gap between us and the competition, have better performance with relation to the market, and second, that all measures, and I'm referring to really all measures, the aggregate total, are designed to be sustainable so that they have a structural impact beyond 2014. They need to be resolutely pursued because Siemens will still be around after 2014. Opportunities have been missed. Before 2007, they were missed, and they have been missed in recent years, and we will continue to make mistakes in the future. But we've always had many successes at Siemens, and we've done things right. In recent years as well, especially in the period between 2008 and 2011. And it is the successes of this period and the exemplary way that Siemens has resolved the transgressions of its past during this period that are the irrefutable legacy of Peter Löscher. This is why, on behalf of all 370,000 employees, I wish to extend my thanks and deep appreciation to Mr. Löscher for his hard work over the past 6 years. And he's got to know, and they've come to appreciate him. What he achieved would not have been conceivable or feasible with a Siemens insider. Many of Siemens's businesses are currently quite successful. What counts now is to stabilize and to expand these businesses. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, we will largely leave things the way they are and change only a few things. We'll correct and improve things that have not been so successful, and we'll do that not by talk, but by working hard. Our top priority will be not to start another program. We need to stabilize our company and to stabilize its internal order. All employees, all customers, our business partners, and our country should again be proud of Siemens the way that I've always been proud of it, and as I am particularly proud of it today. We'll work together towards this objective. The entire managing board and Siemens's worldwide leadership team, the entire supervisory board, will not only oversee us, but also fully support us in this effort. Which is why my second thank you goes to Dr. Kommer and the members of the supervisory board for the confidence and trust shown in me, and I look forward to continuing the long-standing cooperation now as the CEO. I know that, of course, I'm aware of the fact that the recent trends and developments have not made my task any easier, that much is expected of me, and that is why I'm aware that this is even more exacting than in the business-as-usual scenario, which is why I assume this office with very great respect, but also with the assurance and confidence that I have an excellent team with me and a strong and renowned company at my side, and I can rely and count on that strong team. At Siemens, Siemens must come first again. Let me repeat that. At Siemens, Siemens must come first again. And this needs to be the top priority. Everyone will submit to that principle from the CEO to the board of management, to the trainee. That is the key to success. It's not a corporate strategy. What really makes the day is corporate culture, the culture of a company and the values that it stands for. Our goal must be to put the virtues and values of Siemens and the Siemensians into practice day in, day out. People rightly think of Siemens in terms of reliability, consistency, fairness, honesty, diligence, and dedication. And value, the unerring instinct for innovation and quality that has been a hallmark. We want to refocus on these values. We owe that to our customers, shareholders, and over 370,000 employees. That is why their motivation, their commitment, and their satisfaction with the management and how the company is being run is so instrumental. And then, and only then, will we be able to sustainably build and rely on the outstanding quality of their work. We're not be able to satisfy everyone. The pace of the global competition is way too fast for that. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we need to create perspectives beyond 2014. And the best perspective for the company to move, the avenue for the company to move along, is growth. The best prospect and perspective is growth. Controlled, focused, achievable, value-creating growth. And this growth and this ambition must be measured against the values and the expertise and based on these that characterize Siemens, that have made Siemens famous all over the world and for which Siemens stands. Customer proximity, innovation, engineering prowess, quality and reliability that we have a feeling for, and solid finances every year, every quarter, and every month. That is what we build on, and that will determine the future course of the company. Proximity to the customer, innovation, engineering, quality and reliability, and solid finances. That will be the objective that we will gear our business on. I'll not try to reinvent Siemens. There is really no need for that. However, we need constant change, capability of technological innovation, and high productivity at all times to survive in the fierce competitive environment we face, not only in Germany, but also in Europe and worldwide. And ladies and gentlemen, I will join all 370,000 Siemens employees to work to this end.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kaeser. We will now take your questions. Will you please show your hands if you want to ask a question? And please wait for the microphone. We'll start with Mr. Köhn. And later, please raise your hands again so I can see who. I suppose, Mr. Kaeser, that you're not going to quantify any growth targets, and the one with the two zeros will not be repeated, will it, regarding the long-term growth target. But can you tell us maybe what has to be changed first? You talked about changes that need to come. How will that be reflected in the Siemens 2014 program? Will we continue to have 20,000 individual measures, unstructured measures applied to the sectors, or are you planning to have a little more coordinated approach or a more stringent approach? Answer. Well, first of all, as I said, controlled growth based on our values and competencies is relevant. Now, if that growth cannot be achieved, we have to concentrate on what we can manage, time to market, design to cost. We'll concentrate on that. And of course, we'll bear two things in mind or pay attention to two things. First of all, the things, the sectors and the regions, well, they're planning already that they are sustainable, that beyond 2014 they can sustain their development, long-term perspectives, which must not be endangered. That's the most important thing. Secondly, we will focus on always knowing exactly what happens in the businesses. This is why, as you may have guessed, we will have a more stringent and centralized approach to monitoring measures in the company. And this is not adding up what everyone has planned for themselves, but rather carrying out a technical analysis to review feasibility of measures, to understand early on what the effect will be. And regarding 2014, now speculating on certain figures which will replace the 12, it's too early for that. It would not be wise that to give a new figure 1 week after the previous figure has been obsolete. We will do this diligently and not yet. And for the time being, we'll work on our priorities, steering into quieter waters. And also our employees, they have to be on board. They have to work together. If anybody at Siemens is afraid, or if anybody is going to be afraid of Siemens, it must be our competitors. The next one, is it Mr. Höppner or Mr. Flämig? Or both? Well, then one after the other. Mr. Flämig, please. Mr. Käser, you talked about mishaps and failures and reports in the media. How did you experience the past number of days, and what would you say your share in this is? Well, I've been busy inaugurating firefighting cars and being present at other things. But there was also figures. There were figures I had to prepare. I was not directly involved in the things that were done. It was a matter of the supervisory board, and they were involved in these decisions. Now, regarding the developments, I think the most important story is the story we're writing today. That can still be written and changed, because everything of the past is of the past. It's history. And this is something that's important for everyone to understand, including our staff. I would still like to look back. Where do you say your responsibility? Did you not have any responsibility in the things that went wrong over the past number of years? Well, you see, of course the executive board will take responsibility. Siemens has managed to do many things successfully. Other things were not as successful as they could have been, and this is where we need improvements. The third row.
Then on to Mr. Huck, and then we'll go to the other side. Mr. Käser, I have three questions. The first, under the auspices of Peter Löscher, tens of thousands of jobs were lost. The staffing level of Siemens, will that be stable during your term of office? Will you keep the headcount level? And you said it doesn't matter whether it's 10 or 12%, but do you think a two-digit margin is achievable, or could it be 9 or 12%? And the third question, it's pretty much flat out. What would be your forecast for the ongoing fiscal year if we didn't have the book profit from the NSN sale? The answer. Let me pick up your last question first. In conjunction with the reporting on the sale of the share of NSN, we already heard that there was a positive contribution here. It's got a 3 in front of the figure instead of the 2 now. You remember that I said a 3-digit million amount. It's probably 300 million. Positive contribution in Q3, which was recognized already. I believe that a certain amount in Q4 after the closing is achievable. So the special proceeds from NSN will amount to almost 400 million euros for the ongoing activities income. There are discontinued operations factors which are to do with terms and periods and deadlines for certain things, which create some imponderables. However, this amount supports the forecast which we've corroborated already. You can say that's all a matter of luck. However, as things stand, the losses with a view of the strategic realignment and restructuring of NSN and the value creating have been recognized on our bottom line, in our balance sheet. So it's only fair that we also now see the fruit of that in our forecast. Two-digit margin, is that achievable? Well, that depends on the competition. When we designed Siemens 2014 and when we decided it and when we were looking for the right margin forecast, we looked at the competitive environment, at the competitors, we analyzed their figures, and we said 12 to 13%, that is the upshot, is the underlying, the reflect of the underlying profitability in 2012, and we derived the target from this. We decided we will work as successfully as the competitors, which are relevant to us. And if you remember, this objective 2014 was the objective to reattain the stance of being at eye level with the best of the industry. We, Siemens, today, if we did the same analysis 1 year, 1.5 years later, we would probably get 10 to 11% as our competitors are developing there as well. But with relation to the competition, we have improved our ranking. And this is what it's important. We will order and prioritize things on the board of directors, and then we will announce the result of the fourth quarter of 2013, and we will give you a more precise figure on this margin. The first point is that tens of thousands of jobs were lost, as you're saying. Well, it is the objective of any human being assuming responsibility in a leadership team to create and safeguard jobs. Of course, it's not an entrepreneurial achievement to destroy jobs. And if you boast about destroying jobs, you've got to ask yourself whether you've really understood what you're there for. Our competition, the global redistribution of wealth, will continue to lead to constant restructuring because technologies phase out, because the world is developing at different speeds, and because the need of different economies worldwide in certain technologies rises at different speeds. Siemens will always be a company of restructurings, of realignment of resources to different regions, applications and products. That is a normal process. To say we restructure once and then that's it, well, that's cast in stone, that's no way to go. Therefore, there will be restructurings in the future, and we'll try to anticipate trends and developments, and then according or geared to the need, we will follow things through.
Two questions regarding the prospects. You said there will be a Team Siemens. Now, I would like to know what that's going to look like and how that will be different from the executive board today. Secondly, are you also planning to restructure the Siemens group? Will there be a different structure to Siemens in the future? Answer? Well, as I said, my priorities are, first of all, to stabilize the company and then maybe implement cautious changes, but you cannot expect Siemens to go through a sort of reinvention phase. That's not necessary and that will not happen. But of course, the steering committee, which advises the executive board, implement measures, they will decide on things that will be done. Mr. Busse, and then the next one.
Labor representatives, IG Metal, that trade union which is on the supervisory board, which elected you, said we've got to come away from this yield pressure. Do you see that happening? Well, I can give them reason for hope as in so far as I feel that human beings and the margins come into this. What comes first and what comes then is not so important because, you know, both count equally. Margin is important because without profit you can't invest. Without profit you can't be successful. Without profit you cannot ensure the continuation of operations. So profits are important, but you only get profits with the support of the people. So the debate about what's first and last is like the chicken and the egg debate. You need both. One cannot happen without the other, and you need cooperation between the two sides, as developed by Mr. Löscher over the past few years, and there is nothing to improve on that.
So, over to the other side. I'm Annette Weisbach of CNBC. Can I ask in English, and you'll answer?
I highly appreciate that.
That's totally fine.
So it might be a bit repetitive now because we'd like to use it, of course, in English. So what are the first things you really want to tackle and to make a mark in the company? And secondly, how do you want to solve that conundrum of growth in a decelerating economic environment as well in emerging markets while closing the gap to your competitors, which are a lot more cost efficient? And thirdly, what makes you more confident of running this giant company than your predecessor? Thank you.
Well, first of all, the most important thing is today that we give the confidence to our people that this is now over, that we focus on what we've got to focus on, let's get the job done. And if we get our job done well, this company is absolutely well positioned in the whole electrification chain to make a good impact in the competitive landscape. We just have to do one thing at a time. And if there's something, if I look back, if there's something which in hindsight we would do differently, is that we should not take too much too quickly. Because if you take on too much, out of good reasons, you take on too much, you don't get anything done. And everything is ready by 90%. And nothing is done by 100. And that's what we need to do. Just take one step at a time. Go after the big rocks first. And once you're done with the big rocks, get them out of the way, you can focus on the pebble along the side. And that's exactly what we'll be doing. Prioritization of what they're going to do, and that there's nothing wrong with Siemens being back on where it belongs to.
Frau Meier, bitte.
Mr. Meyer, one question that investors are wondering about is, has become Siemens come too complex? Can it be managed? Is it still manageable? I'd be interested in your take on this. And then you said Siemens has to refocus on its strengths, innovation, quality, and integrity. What is the status there? There have been complaints by investors that Siemens has lost its edge when it comes to innovation. What is your take on that? Integrity and quality and innovation. The answer? Well, you know, when it comes to complexity, we've got people in all the sectors at a leadership level that are true masters of their business. Whether the range is too wide or whether we are competent doing certain things are not so important. In the long run, in mastering complexity, it's about the value chain being designed and managed at Siemens. Siemens is an electrification company from the generation of energy through transmission distribution right up to energy efficient application or use of power in industry, in buildings and in medical engineering. This is what Siemens is about, the be-all and end-all, electrification. And if we're not that good with oil and gas today, where we see booming regions and applications where we only participate to a small extent, then that is not the time to buy your way into the oil and gas market. It's about considering what will determine this attractive market in the future, and that is electrification, because the deeper you dig, the more applications in the high seas have to be done, the more electricity you need, and no longer pumping and hydraulic applications in the offshore range are instrumental then. And we don't want to be the sixth suppliers. We want to be the strategic, long-term, dominating player in this area where we do things best, and that is electrification from generation right up to the efficient use of power. And electrification is used everywhere. You'll say, well, software is cool and people are spending, and you're spending a lot of money on industrial software. But software runs on hardware. Hardware, in turn, needs a lot of electric power. And you cannot interrupt that. If power is cut, the computer will be down. So USP, uninterrupted power supply, and UPS, and that sort of thing. Data centers, that is the core competence of Siemens, and this is what the value creation of the company will focus on and will be expanded. And the rest, ladies and gentlemen, will be presented as soon as I'm ready with my team, because I alone cannot do things single-handedly, and we're everything in a team, and this is how I'll do things, and this is how we'll move.
Second question about innovation, wasn't it? We will have to think very carefully where these project burdens come from. Were we entering too quickly into markets which were not ideal for us, which maybe they were not typical markets, or was it lack of project management? Was it a lack of competencies we might have had at the time? Or was it a kind of innovation lag, which was the reason why we couldn't get those last cents in the product price, cutting those costs by those last few cents? We have to look for the root causes of the effects, which are then reflected in terms of project burdens. And once we've done that, then the therapy which follows the diagnosis will not be so terrible. Mr. Keller, your predecessor said that we would have a kind of pickup in the economy. How do you see the economic situation in the world? From which region do you expect impulses, either U.S. or China? And who is your model? Can you say, is there a certain person you take an example from?
Now maybe I'll start by answering the easy question of, or the more straightforward question of the economic environment.
And, well, I can say that our hopes for the economy picking up during the second half of the calendar year was not confirmed at all. That did not materialize. In fact, the industrial market will weaken in America, in Germany, and also in Europe. We will have stagnation or a slight decline at a high level, and the decline in U.S. Will be offset partly by the situation in China after the restructuring. There will be a recovery. Now, this was the theory, and we thought we were going to weather the storm. Unfortunately, the reality is different. China is taking much longer than we had hoped for. This may not necessarily be a bad thing, but I think what the Chinese government are planning to do will probably prevent an economic recovery for some time. Why is this so? It is so because the government is going to concentrate on fostering economic recovery through reforms. This is new. In the past, in China, a new stimulus program was implemented and another infrastructure program was launched and yet another one. Energy programs were launched and this then made for growth also in consumption, which led to a situation where a huge infrastructure was built up, but also huge overcapacities. The government have recognized this very well, in fact, and they are now carrying out reforms to create a sustainable situation in the country. Now, this is positive. The thing is that reforms mean restructuration. Restructuring of huge overcapacities in steel, in mining, that is raw materials, also coal, huge overcapacities in winning and producing cement. But these industries are the industries which are situated in rural environments and are providing many jobs there. Now, if the government is going to implement reforms there, restructure, then cut down capacities, this will result in huge changes in the rural labor markets. And this means this is something you want to think about twice if you want to prevent social unrest. So the realignment, the economic realignment of China will take some time, and the economic recovery, especially when it comes to investment goods, that will take time too. Hence, we will concentrate in 2014 on what we can shape or what we can influence, productivity, process improvement, and the medium and long-term innovation projects. The model you asked about. There is not a single person, I could say, who is my role model. But there are people whom I've met who I respect very much and who I find inspiring, honest, and who say what they think and who walk the talk. People like that are my models. And these can be small children, because small children will not be bulldozed into doing things. They will simply do things. Big children want to have a career, and they don't want to lose their jobs. They will not always say what they think, at least not before applying elsewhere or getting a job elsewhere. But small children, they will speak their minds. And you can only convince them. You can convince them of what you think and think is right. And if they are convinced, then they will understand the values you're trying to communicate. So this is my model, if you like, people who are able to convince other people. Next question.
Can you guarantee the existence of the four sectors, and when will the decision be taken about the leadership's team? And is it a personal dream which you had when you joined Siemens to become CEO one day? Well, I didn't think of this back then, and this is hardly surprising. When I became CFO at Siemens, I thought, this is the best job in the world. Then, after a couple of months, that very much changed. However, then you can't prove your worth but what you have in skills. What you are can change. What you know how to do is something that stays with you. And now on to the simple question, whether the sectors are structured from left to right to left or top-down, diagonal, the way you sort them is not really relevant to me at this point in time. Because, you know, what I referred to earlier, that Siemens has to come first at Siemens. That will supersede everything else, all the power struggles, all the reshuffling. And if you don't understand that, anyone who doesn't grasp that will be in trouble, and I'll help them understand once, twice, three times, and if they then still don't get it, then they're in the wrong company. I will not permit that a company which stands for quality, integrity and worldwide renown destroys itself on the inside. Whether we need five sectors, three, two or one is of really no significance. But the central tenet is that along the value chain of electrification, this company will be structured. At the end of the day, that will generate the customer benefit. And that is what will decide about profit or loss, about winning a contract or not, about employment. That will win the day. There is a question of Mike. The answer is, well, we'll have a little more time than it meets the eye, and we have a lot of good talent in-house, and we have enough time. We will not take any rash decisions, and I am here for the time being, and I can take your questions for the figures. You know, we are here and we have the skill.
I have three more requests for the floor. Mr. Käser, three brief questions. Did you talk to Mr. Löscher today? And if so, what did you talk about? How is Mr. Löscher and where is he now? Thank you. Now, where Mr. Löscher is right now, I can't say. But every day since those developments started, I had telephone calls with Mr. Löscher or talked with him personally. Also on Saturday, also on Sunday, and since then, of course, every day. And we will continue to talk to each other. Of course, he can be proud of many achievements. He has many qualities, which I appreciate very much, and I will continue to seek his advice. And one to the front.
You take that question back? Okay. Then you continue. Mr. Käser, I have three questions for you. On China, reports have been rife in recent times that there were going to be restructurings of your business there. Can you give us your take on the growth you expect there and the changes? Then the share buyback campaign, many analysts are speculating that this could happen as a little present to investors. Can you corroborate these hopes of the investors? And the third question is the obligatory notifications of last week. Can you tell us why that was necessary under the management, among the management? Not everyone seems to have agreed. Is that correct? Can you confirm that? And the last question, these 100 billion euros, can we assume that this no longer applies for that purpose? The answer is China and restructuring. We have planned some realignment, and you should not overrate that, however, because we have been very diligently in focusing on distinguishing between temporary or structural weaknesses. In Europe, there will be many structural weaknesses which are here to stay, and we've got to react with restructuring measures. In economies such as China, where you're talking temporary slumps that are going to lead into a reviving and recovery of operations and business. But to let people go that we've been looking for, that we've trained, that we've skill built and developed as young talent is really not something which is advisable. And if there are weaknesses, there will be cuts in headcount, but we will be careful here. The share buyback or equity swap or whatever you're doing. We did something last year. Such things happen in every company, but there are priorities in every company as well. And the highest priority today at Siemens is that we do what I presented to you in the beginning, and then we shall see. The ad hoc communication, I've read a lot about that from different points of view and perspectives. The facts are these. In the beginning of last week, we had the monthly operating review. This is a discussion on a monthly basis with the divisions about the development of business of the elapsed quarter, of the coming quarter, and the outlook for the next fiscal year. We intensively look into these developments, and the closer you get to the new fiscal year, for instance, like now, after the third quarter of 2013, the more intensive discussions become about what is in the pipeline for the next fiscal year, because we need to take measures when there are deviations right up to new planning. That is a given. And what we found when we discussed this with Peter Löscher and others, that there are material deviations in absolute terms for Siemens in 2014. We need to assume these because of the growth expectations and the revenue expectations having to be corrected. We discussed this intensively, as we did whether it's still probable that with additional measures we can compensate for this reduction, and we unanimously agreed that it would not make sense for the company to adopt short-term measures to cosmetically improve things. And as we decided that, we told the disclosure committee, we gave them the mandate to look into whether from a audit and legal point of view this needs to be disclosed. This needs to be published, and the experts felt that this was material, and particularly given the fact that in the outlooks for 2013, which was published in November last year, Siemens 2014 was directly linked with 2013, and this created the obligation, and those are the facts, and this is not going to change because that's what it was. The 100 billion target, that is not a priority, but growth as such is an important factor to give people, to give the company a perspective, a prospect. But we need the right levers.
We have two more questions. Mr. Käser, one could have gained the impression in recent years that some large projects are too much for Siemens, the wind parks or the trains for German Rail. Do you agree to that view, or what are you going to do about that? Answer. Siemens can manage projects very well. This is something that our staff show every day. When, in some cases, there are certain disappointments, this is not necessarily due to project management, but it's due to other causes. For example, if you look at the integration of the wind parks into the grid through a transmission platform, this is not so much a question of project management, but rather when you have a new business, how you approach the market. You have to ask the question whether what we can do, what we can contribute to this new aspect of these new things. And looking back, it would have been wiser to team up with an oil platform manufacturer than doing all this alone. So many things that appear or that have an adverse effect on the projects have their causes elsewhere in the quality of the business. And in the future, maybe we have to do some more careful planning before we accept such orders. Now, the trains have been discussed at length. There are certain complexities in Germany. due to the many contributors. Now, our work was not satisfactory and our communication wasn't satisfactory either. We have to improve that. And now, if you look at the progress we're making right now, the situation is getting better, but that's all I want to say on this now. Ms. Meyer.
I have four little questions. To come back to these, you said that the delta for 2014 was the upshot of your monthly operating review. Can you give us the figure of this delta, of this deviation, of this gap, so to speak? And then I couldn't hear the answer. Might be me, whether the 100 billion target is still valid. Maybe you can comment on this. Then on the margins, you said that on today's basis, the competitors would be at 5 to 10%, and then they are 12%, and you just want to be better than the competition. Does that mean you'll no longer publish margin targets? And the last question pertains to something which has engendered criticism, where not everyone agreed, was the subdivision into four sectors. The four sectors topic, do you believe this is still the right structure for Siemens? Well, this gap in 2014, I said there were material deltas in absolute terms, but I can tell you that when talking about 80 billion in sales, 1 percentage point is 800 million in revenue, is 8 million. So the percentages are materially lower. We're talking about material figures, and that is instrumental, and that's not a landslide change. What is certain is that the growth prospects for 2014 do not look as good anymore, so that certain productivity targets can no longer be met because we simply lack the volume. So the 100 billion target has no priority. Other things have priority. We might take it up again at a later point in time, but then we'll inform you. The margins, well, of the competitors in the second quarter, and not all competitors have published their figures yet that we need for the analysis, we find that the competitor mix, which we based the assessment of our performance on as a reference, the quarter in 2013 has 7% margin in the quarter under review. So the competitors don't earn 12% either, which is why it's so instrumental that in the future when we discuss the new target for 2014 in November, for example, that we always have in mind that the competitive environment for the competitors can change as well. And more important than considering 12 or 13 or 10, to consider the gap we have with the competitors, that we close that gap. And if we work to do that every quarter, then you're pretty much there at the end of that trend. Well, the four sectors, when we talk about the priority to calm a company, to reestablish its inner order, then one of the worst things you can really do is to create further unrest internally. You can debate until the cows come home whether this fourth sector is precisely what advanced us. And you can debate that. That is possible. But there are two things that you've really got to be aware of. There is no single product, no single division, no single business that is in the fourth sector today that wasn't around earlier in the Siemens world. But now they're more transparent. Second, in this fourth sector, we have a headcount of more than 100,000 employees. I don't need these people to reconsider where they'll find themselves in the close future, but that they make a contribution to the success of this company, to making this company one of the best in the world. So this debate has no priority in the short term. It is not immediately on the tops of our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an analyst call at 1600 hours, to which you're invited to follow. And we would ask you, therefore, to understand that we have to close and there will be no bilateral interviews. I hope that you will all have a good summer. Thank you very much.